Good evening, and welcome to The Lost Chord, a weekly program of unusual and neglected repertoire. I'm Ross Amico, and I sincerely hope you'll stay with me for the next hour as we listen to Leopold Stokowski's early Wagner recordings. Magic Fire is what we call tonight's program. Leopold Stokowski recorded more Wagner with the Philadelphia Orchestra than any other single composer. This may come as somewhat of a surprise, considering the conductor's fondness for novelty. Stokowski introduced over 400 new works in Philadelphia alone, presiding over either the U.S. or world premieres. He was forever tinkering with seating arrangements within the orchestra, and in approaching the classics, he tampered with matters of orchestration and even structure. He was a seductive and colorful interpreter of French and Russian repertoire, yet Wagner featured prominently in his Philadelphia programs. When he returned to conduct the orchestra in 1960, after several decades' hiatus, music from Tristan und Isolde was among the works he performed and recorded. My own first acquaintance with Stokowski's Wagner was through an LP of highlights from The Ring, made with the London Symphony Orchestra and issued in the 1970s. It was terrible. My humble opinion, of course. Ordinarily, I found myself drawn to the conductor's excesses. At the very least, I found them fascinating and at times amusing. But Stokowski's swooning during Siegfried's funeral march, that was blasphemy. So it was with some surprise that years later I first encountered his early Wagner recordings, most of which had been issued on 78s. Sure, Stokowski being Stokowski, some liberties are taken, but for the most part these are tasteful and expressive. Those portamento galore, in keeping with the style of the period, strings swooping decadently from note to note, and of course in some instances Stokowski can't resist sculpting Wagner's music into little narratives of his own, giving rise to the symphonic synthesis. These were tone poems of Stokowski's own creation, using as raw material highlights from Wagner's music dramas. Some regarded the results as the work of a modern-day Frankenstein, but there's no denying Stokowski gives himself over completely to Wagner's sensuous arabesques. The lower strings pad out the vocal lines here and there, but other than that, for the most part, the maestro's alterations are in the transitions, the connecting tissue. Tonight we'll be listening to one such example, which we recorded several times, characteristically making adjustments with each renewed acquaintance. This is the symphonic synthesis from Tristan und Isolde, by 1960 referred to as Love Music from Acts 2 and 3, but in 1935 the core of the piece was known as Liebesnacht, literally Love Night, a much more poetic title. We hear this to begin with, and we'll explain the controversy it stirred and Stokowski's solution afterward. Here is Leopold Stokowski to conduct the Philadelphia Orchestra, Liebesnacht, his symphonic synthesis after Wagner's Tristan und Isolde.
Thank you.
A 1935 recording, we've just heard Liebesnacht, symphonic synthesis after Wagner's Tristan und Isolde by Leopold Stokowski. The arranger, Stokowski conducting the Philadelphia Orchestra. Now, when that set of 78s was first issued, it caused an uproar among dedicated Wagnerians, who couldn't believe Stokey's audacity, squelching the ecstatic love music with the sudden brutality of Tristan's fatal duel. This was coitus interruptus in the extreme, perhaps literally given the subject. As great a miscalculation on Stokey's part as bypassing the jubilant finale of Stravinsky's The Firebird in his 1935 recording. And those of you who have heard it know what I mean. Anyway, the public outcry was such that Stokey and the Philadelphians went back before the microphones to set down an alternate ending. Here it is from 1939, and with plenty of portamento. The Liebestod from Wagner's Tristan und Isolde. The Philadelphia Orchestra conducted by Leopold Stokowski. Stokey prescribed free bowing for his players, which accounts for that luscious, lustrous Philadelphia sound, the uninterrupted sheen of the strings. There's something a little bit Hollywood about his rendition of the coda. The prelude, by the way, appears not to have been part of Stokowski's original design, at least for this particular version of the synthesis, although he did record it as somewhat of an afterthought a year and a half later, in order to provide a more complete substitute for the version of the synthesis he set down 7 years earlier, in 1932. Stokey always keenly interested in technological developments, and recorded sound in those days was developing very quickly. For our purposes this evening, we've bypassed the prelude to bring you the Liebesnacht and the Liebestod, both recorded in the Academy of Music in Philadelphia. Magic Fire, Leopold Stokowski's early Wagner recordings tonight. You're listening to The Lost Chord. All of our recordings this evening are from compact discs on the Pearl label. The Tristan selections and transfers by celebrated engineer Ward Marston, and those on the remainder of the program by Mark Obert Thorne. The same recordings have since been remastered in reputedly better sound by Marston for the Andante label. Here's Leopold Stokowski himself to introduce selections from Wagner's Ring.
Now we are going to play music from Wagner's Nibelungen Ring. The story is probably familiar to most of you, but I should like to speak of it to those who are far from places where these music dramas are played. The story deals with the legends of Northern Europe. Wotan, the father of the gods, feels that his power is lessening and builds a great stronghold called Valhalla, high in the mountains to which he, with the other gods, retires. Deep down in the valley, the Rhine maidens are guarding a treasure of gold. This gold is stolen by Alberich, the chief of a race of gnomes or dwarfs. From this gold is made a ring of magic power, the Nibelungen Ring. This ring and all the gold carries a curse to its possessor. As the gods' power lessens, the power of the heroes increases. Siegfried, a young hero of overwhelming courage, with a nature filled with sunlight and laughter, becomes possessor of the ring. Wotan has banished one of his daughters, Brünnhilde, to the top of a mountain and surrounds her with a circle of fire through which only a hero can penetrate and win the love of Brünnhilde. Siegfried passes through the fire, awakens Brünnhilde with a kiss, and an intense heroic love joins them. While hunting, Siegfried is killed by Hagen, a son of Alberich, the Nibelung, in order that Hagen may obtain the ring which is on Siegfried's finger. As was the custom with the North European races, Siegfried's body is burned on a funeral pyre, and Brünnhilde throws herself in the flames and dies with him. At this moment, the Rhine overflows, and the Rhine maidens take back the ring, and the curse of gold is removed. We play, first of all, the majestic music of the gods passing over the valley on a rainbow into the stronghold Valhalla. Down in the valley can be heard the song of the Rhine maidens. After that, we play the wild music of the Valkyrie. These are the nine daughters of Wotan, half woman, half flying horse. In the ancient legends of Northern Europe, the Valkyrie could be seen flying in the storm clouds and would take warriors killed in battle to Valhalla. The scene we play paints the wild rushing of the wind on the top of a high mountain where the Valkyrie are collecting in a great storm. Brünnhilde, one of the Valkyrie, who later becomes the bride of Siegfried, is being pursued by Wotan because she has disobeyed him. She asks protection of her sisters from Wotan. Wotan arrives and by a magic kiss puts her to sleep on the highest point of the mountain and surrounds her by fire through which only a hero can penetrate, and at the same time gives her the Nibelung ring. The next music we play is the fire music, which sounds as Siegfried passes through the fire and awakens Brünnhilde. After that, we play the music of the three Rhine maidens who beg Siegfried to give them back the Nibelung ring which Brünnhilde has given him.
Once more, we thank you, Mr. Stokowski. I wish you could really know how much your audience here in the auditorium, as well as that great audience out on the ether, values your introduction to the music you are to play. In the auditorium, the audience is seated. The world audience is waiting, and we have signaled the control room out to cut in the microphone in the auditorium. Expectancy is ours.
Leopold Stokowski, heard here in a CBS radio broadcast of January 16, 1932, from the Old Met in Philadelphia, complete with faux Middle European accent. Stokowski was born in London, his father of Polish extraction, and his mother Irish. A summary of Wagner's Ring Cycle. Here now is a 1934 recording made in Camden, New Jersey, at Trinity Church Studio. Lawrence Tibbett, to my knowledge, never portrayed Wotan on stage. Here he is with Leopold Stokowski and the Philadelphia Orchestra in Wotan's Farewell and Magic Fire music from Wagner's Die Walküre.
Meines Herzens Heil.
A 1934 recording, Lawrence Tibbett was the baritone, and Leopold Stokowski conducted the Philadelphia Orchestra in Wotan's Farewell and Magic Fire Music from Wagner's Die Walküre, the second of the Ring operas. An interesting document in that Tibbett never sang the role of Wotan on stage. Well, unfortunately, that's just about all the time we've got this evening. Would have loved to illustrate the connection between Stokowski the organist and Stokowski the conductor, playing his ensemble as if it were one mighty instrument, as can be heard in his early recording of the Entry of the Gods into Valhalla, and of course in his celebrated Bach transcriptions. We'll have to save that for another time. And with Wotan's Farewell and Magic Fire Music, we come to the conclusion of tonight's program, consisting of Leopold Stokowski's early Wagner recordings. Magic Fire. I'm Ross Amico. Thanks very much for joining me for this week's edition of The Lost Chord.
Funding for this program has been provided in part by the listener members of the Classical Network. Make a donation today at WWFM.org. Thank you for supporting the Classical Network. For more information on The Lost Chord, recommended recordings, and more, visit my Facebook page and be sure to like me at Classic Ross Amico.